Good morning, everybody. Pastor, thank you for this opportunity to let me tell these people what's in my heart today. And it's been a bit of activity in the inside I wasn't expecting, because that worship was amazing. Every chorus, every verse that was sang this morning, I could tie it right directly into what the Lord put on my heart. So it's nice to know that the message is already woven by the Holy Spirit, and we get to reap the benefit of it today. He prepped us in worship, and now we get to hear the word, and then what we do after we've received this word, make sure your heart is good. Block everything out you can, and just, Lord, help my heart be a sponge to hear your voice. I don't care if you hear my voice. I don't like to hear my voice. It's always different when I hear it on a recording, you know? But make sure we have our spiritual frequency tuned into the Holy Spirit, because it's a special day, special things happen, and our Father has some things to share with us. I'm going to pray real quick, if you don't mind. Lord, thank you for the chance to open my mouth and share a word that's eternal, a word that won't return to you void, but it will accomplish what you sent it to do. Thank you for the hearts of all these precious people, that it is good ground, and your word will take root, and it will grow into a great tree of God's love and God's presence and God's favor. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll be reaching for my water bottle quite a bit, because for some reason you get dried out and you try to talk and it kind of sounds like this. So, testimony about that real quick. I was listening to a fellow who, I never listened to his podcast, but it's one of those things where if you're on your computer and something pops up in your news feed, and this, what popped up said a miracle. And I thought, well, that's cool. Let me just see what that is. And it was a gentleman who, about 7 years ago, I believe, he developed some kind of a disease that attacked your vocal cords, and he couldn't, you hear him talk. I may have heard Robert Kennedy Jr. talk. Have you heard something like that? I thought it might be the same thing, but I don't know. But just gravelly, rough, incomprehensible, and painful. So he was kind of talking like this, trying to get the word of what he was trying to share out. And as he was talking on that podcast, it was about healing. And at about 3 minutes into that thing, as he was talking, you could hear the voice start to return back to normal. And he worded out a couple of syllables, then he stopped. And I can't see this because it's just a podcast. And then somebody way in the back goes, woo! And he says, folks. And then he starts crying. And you know what happened. He was healed right there, right in the middle, publicly for all to see. And I kind of think that stuff happens a lot. I don't think it gets a lot of coverage from media or people. I think it, even in today's world, things can be suppressed, and that's what the enemy would like to do, is suppress all those testimonies. That's why it's important that we express those things that God has done, so that the people in the world will be able to see and know firsthand that there's a God alive, there's a God who's here, and a God who loves them very much. Well, today's Father's Day, and I'm going to read a few phrases to you that come to mind. A few of them I saw on the internet. The rest of them popped into my head. Typical phrases that we go through regarding our fathers from childhood. 4 years old, my daddy can do anything. 7 years old, my dad knows a whole lot. 8 years old, my dad can beat up your dad. 9 years old, dad said, don't do it, but I'm going to try it anyway. 12 years old, oh, dad just doesn't understand. 14, dad's so old-fashioned. 17 years old, that man is out of touch, out of reach, out to lunch. 21 years old, dad has no idea what's going on in the world today. An old fogey. 25 years old, you know, I wonder what the old man has to say about this. 30 years old, do you think dad's ever seen this situation before? I'm turning into my dad. 35, I need dad's opinion on this. 50 years old, What would Dad have thought about all of this? And 60, I sure wish Dad was here just one more time so I could hear his voice. That's very true, isn't it? The whole laying out of the plan for families that God has ordained with a father and a mother. And we all have divine gifts and roles that he's given us. It doesn't matter what the world says. If you think this way, you think that way, you think you're this, maybe you don't feel like a mother today, maybe you feel like something, whatever. That's just smoke and mirrors. It's real to some people. Let me say that again. It's real to some people because that's what's in their heart in abundance. They've heard the word, the wrong word, that settled in their heart. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That works for God's word. And it's also when people speak words of fear and doubt and unbelief. Because we're made that way. We're made in God's image, and that's what it is. It comes in, fills up our heart, comes out of our mouth, represented in our actions. Because faith and fear are the exact opposite. But God has shown us that having a father to head the home, to head the work that he called us to do in the earth, and the helpmeet that he provided in the wife is equally so important. I don't have a problem with equality because God loves us all the same, immeasurably. God loves men and their calling, their gifts, their favor, their roles. He calls them to be that and he loves them and will be there unconditionally. Mothers called to be mother, wives called to be mothers. They can be many other things. And boy, do you get in hot water if you say it in public, the other things that women can be. Oh, they can be a real estate agent or they can be a physicists, you hardly ever hear people talk about being a bricklayer or a hole digger for women, but they could do that. It's equal. God loves us all equally that way. But when we all realize that God has a divine plan and we step into his plan for our life, and we're committed in a family situation, then as a father, which we're going to talk about mostly today, there are things that we can do on purpose, and you have to do them on purpose because there's too many things that prohibit you from doing things you think should just be a certain way. But there's three principles, and we're going to talk about Joseph, Jesus' earthly father. Three principles, a lot more than that, but three that God has focused in for this message. That Joseph reached out. He reached out to grab the heart of Jesus. And you know, Joseph also reached out to grab the heart and the attention of other people for a lot of reasons. One thing, you'll hear about it in just a moment, he had to communicate. He had to reach out to other people and communicate safety for his family. He had to hear what the lay of the land was and should we do this or should we do that. Joseph navigated a whole lifetime to make sure that baby was preserved until he was a toddler, until he was a teenager. Until he sat in the temple and started telling all the rabbis how it was. Until he was 30 and up until he was 33 years old and gave his life for us. All that time, his earthly father had calling and responsibility and love for Jesus. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. It's never been easy to be a dad. I'm going to read Luke chapter 2. Verses 41 through 52. And I'll read this from the message, but it reads very well and beautifully in whatever version you have. Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, don't know how many days it was at this point. As they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother didn't know it, home alone. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they didn't find him, they returned to Jerusalem. There are some more days seeking him. And so it was after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. If that had been me, my mom wouldn't say, Son, why hast thou done this to us? My mom would say, Curtis Milburn. Oh my gosh, I said that out loud. Just forget that second part. But Mary, she was already paying deep attention to this miracle person that God, she gave birth to us, gave him to us. But notice how many days here. It says after 3 days, they found him in the temple. But that's 3 days just prior to they found him. There was also a time when they originally made the trek to go to pay taxes, to go back to Jerusalem and look back again. It could be anywhere depending, and I couldn't find any specific thoughts on this. 10 days, maybe 2 weeks, depending on how fast they could walk and whatever it was. Can you imagine your 12-year-old son? I don't know where he is, where he is. Well, back in the day, you know he's not going to get in a car and drive 200 miles. He's got to be within something. But this was the special one. This was the chosen one. Mary knew who this was. And Joseph was living under instruction to be a earthly father to Jesus. Not necessarily a super father, super dad. Be the father that he's called us all to be. To love your children and so forth. So when he couldn't find Joseph, oh, God, help me. Father, help me. You've entrusted me with this person, with this child. Where is he? So they're frantically looking or whatever, only to come to a King James English expression here. Where hast thou been, son? We've looked for thee for 2 weeks. And what was Jesus' answer? He said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? But they did not understand the statement that he spoke. Even Joseph and Mary, they didn't understand at that point what he spoke. But he was speaking truth. And the Holy Spirit, through him, taught them and all of us something. That if you are trying to find Jesus, most of us don't try to find him. But if you do, he said, if you seek me, you'll find me. If you seek me with all your heart. He's always about the Father's business. So go look there. Where's the Father have business here? Where's Jesus? You'll find him. Nowadays, he's in our heart. So if someone in the world doesn't know where Jesus is, show them. Hi, I'm Kurt. Forget that. Forget that part. Jesus loves you. And a good thing for us to have is that if we're ever in the presence of anybody, whether they're believers or don't profess a belief, whatever, that when we leave their company, and this is my biggest challenge. This is where I still have to, I got marks of advancement that I have to make. But people should always, when we part company, I want them to feel that Jesus was there. And make no mention, don't try to do anything so they'll remember us because they can forget us just that easy as well. But that's a big responsibility. Joseph knew that responsibility as the earthly father. Now, it's easy for us to relate to the heavenly father with Jesus because we have him too. He's alive forever. We can speak with him, communicate with him, love him always. He's never left or forsaken any part of you. He's with us. But the earthly father, here's three things. There's more, but these three things for the day that the Lord had me share. Joseph reached out to Jesus on purpose and demonstrated by example these three things. It can be done. I believe in you. And you are not alone. It can be done. I believe in you. And you're not alone. And the first one, if it can't be done, that encompasses reaching out to your children with courage to encourage them. Have the courage to encourage your children. Have the courage to influence whomever with Christ. But as a father, we need to realize that it takes some courage to do that because you're not just fighting the physical battles for your children. You see how people dream this stuff up where your kids are bullied or this kid's bullied and then the parent comes and steps in, you know, the dad comes in and he saves the day or whatever. That's not the warfare we have to fight for our children. It's a spiritual warfare. Now, we've already won. That war has been won. There are battles taking place as it winds down. You and I are still on this side of it, where we still are exposed to temptations. Sometimes good choices are made, sometimes bad. Sometimes mistakes, sometimes it's on purpose, even for believers. And then a world of people out there that are believing everything but the Bible. It's a mess out there. And even people will tell you this, people who might be smarter than us, but I don't know why they're on these screens, and so that must make me that they know more than we do. And they're telling us that in the black community, that fathers out of the home is a big reason why that the black children and black people are stereotyped a certain way, because they don't have influence of the father, and that's why they go into crime or whatever. I'm not a social scientist. I don't know that. But I know that if daddy's not there, that's a hole that can't be filled. That leaves a place of risk for the family. That leaves an emptiness, opportunities to love and have and giggle and have fun and wrestle. It's gone if daddy's not there. So daddy, if you are here and you're there in the lives of your children, I mean from 10 to 100, it doesn't matter. My son's 40, he's 40, right? 41. Rhonda said, I don't know, I just gave birth. He's still my boy. He'll always be my boy. And I've shared this with you before as I was trying to, as I raised my kids. I thought this on purpose, and I think maybe if in the classroom of evaluation, I might have gotten an A- on this. I don't know, because I've never did it perfectly, but I always tried to tell my kids, if something great happens to you, run to me and let me know. If something bad happens to you, or if you do something bad, come to me. I'm not going to kill you, and you never have to say, my dad's going to kill me. Because there's no car you could wreck. There's no thing you could do on purpose or accidental that would make me not love you anymore. If you come to me and you're in the absolute wrong, we'll have to ride that wave with you, but come to me. And then the Lord also says, come to me, all you who are labored and heavy laden. It applies to all of his children. Sometimes we're the proxy father. We are that by the Holy Spirit to people who don't even know God, and we're the only lens they can see him through, so we can express his fatherhood's love to a world that doesn't have a father. Maybe they don't even believe him. Maybe they actively work against him. But I let my children know, try to tell, come to me. And not like, well, boy, Dad, I'm coming to you, but boy, I hate to, I got some news for you. You want the good news first? Yep, there is none. Okay, here's the bad news. No, you run to the father, the door busts open, and you see him across the room, and right, there you go, bam. Daddy, jump in his lap, hug him, run to him. And as fathers, we need to be prepared for that. It's a big challenge, because sometimes we get upset with our children, don't we? Sometimes we don't want to encourage them that it can be done, because sometimes they can do things we don't want them to do. We want to say, no, you can't do that, and then they test it. One of our little grandsons, that's his name, whatever that is. Don't touch this. What, this? Don't run. Okay, just one more time. Just one more last time, Papa. Nope. You have to reach out and haul them in. Bring them in. But don't bring them back to just criticism. Bring them back in a way that we can encourage them. That's our challenge. No, son, no, daughter, this is why that wouldn't work. We talked about this, but come here. We're going to love you. We're going to work through it. We'll ask God to fix it. We'll ask him to change the circumstances. We'll pray his will into it, so that no matter all the things that were intended for evil that happens because of this choice you made, God will turn it for good. Isn't that wonderful? What the devil intended for evil, God turned it to good. Lazarus is dead. Yeah, not for long. That horrible, horrible death turned into one of the greatest noted miracles that we have recorded of what Jesus did, raising from the dead. And wow. I wonder, sometimes I think about Lazarus, what he thought when he woke up. I got to get some exercise. I'm kind of stiff here. Oh, that's horrible. And it happened. But people that they, when they went to Jesus for their issues, is the way we should come to the Father. And dads, fathers, this is what we should be ready for. To welcome our children back and encourage them, whether they're coming to us and need our covering or to celebrate. We should pray, Lord, help me instill in them that they can do, that they can be successful. Encourage them. And I wrote this down specifically. Courage to encourage. It does take courage. Maybe not the same kind of courage as a war hero, what they've done to protect our country or their comrades, but it still takes courage and wisdom to encourage people, because with your children, especially our children, they're in school systems that where they're around that input more than they are ours. When they're with friends and when they're out and about doing different things, maybe they're even working, they're exposed to other influences, not ours. And our influence, nobody's can be perfect. But if we want to be sure to encourage our children in the ways of God, we have to have time with them. We have to make time. There has to be exposure to that. Time to talk. And just the same thing that Jesus did in the temple. He was listening, and then he also had questions. It's not wrong for us to ask questions if we don't know of our children as fathers. Because the world does change. It changes on a dime. It changes from one commercial to the next. It changes from one tick of the clock to the next. And we're old fogies that are out of it. I think it was one of our titles there. But it's not true. As believers, and as examples of what the Father has done to reach out to the world, everything he's done to reach us was to encourage us. There was a lot of blood spilled in that message, but there's also a lot of love that helps us overcome it. Even the worst thing that's happened in our lives, our Father still can encourage us in it, because all things work together for what? For good. For those who are called according to his purpose. Okay, so one of the things that is we need to instill on purpose is to reach out to our children, grab their attention, and be an example of that it can be done. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is he that is in me. There's always a positive chance there. The second thing, I believe in you. Reaching out to our children to share faith and confidence. As I looked at this in times past, not just so much for this message here, but I looked up here, the meaning of faith. What's the opposite of faith? Unbelief? Nope. Okay. Lack of confidence? Well, confidence is a different way to apply faith. You know, I have faith in this chair. I have confidence it's not going to break when I sit in it. You see, that kind of thing. But in the things of God, when we talk about faith, faith is actually the spiritual component. I don't know how else we could word it. Like it. Faith is very much alive because it is the Word of God. And the Bible says that it's alive and sharp and powerful. And it makes sense when you get that. As you hear the Bible and what God's Word tells us, it builds our confidence up in him. It gives us confidence to approach him. And we have faith, even though we don't see our Father. And in our life, as we're real fathers, when we teach our children and love our children, they may not see us. In fact, they won't see us much once they get out to start working at the fast food places or hanging out with their friends as they go. They'll be seeing more of everything else and less of us on a daily basis, which makes it that much more important that we can mold their attention towards faith and to reach out to give that faith to them. We're told when Jesus was 12 years old, he took him to Jerusalem, spent time instructing and leading the rabbis at the temple. Isn't that interesting? Jesus, he the Bible says that while he was there, he listened and asked questions. And when he asked questions, it was the questions that made the rabbi say, who is this child? He didn't stand up and say, I am the Son of God and angels are subject to me and, you know, I'm going to be the Savior. No. He didn't say or do anything. He was, 12 years old? And he's still learning. We think Jesus was born and as a baby, he had full knowledge of heaven and full knowledge of everything because he's God. And that's one of the mysteries I can't say that I understand. But I can tell you this. When he was a baby, he cried and he poo-pooed. And contrary to the Christmas song, no crying he makes. He was a baby. He was just like us. He had a mommy and a daddy, and he had to be raised. He was taught skills. He was taught etiquette. He was taught morals. But the Holy Spirit in him, you see, as it came to what you know the Father's great plan, because Jesus was really the physical manifestation of God's love to us. And Jesus absorbed it all perfectly, and he knew how to apply it perfectly. And he knew that when you absorb goodness and encouragement and love perfectly, that this world will kill you for it. He knew that. He knew it. But as he was raised and molded and exposed to things by his father did things that Jesus paid attention to. We won't find a lot of scriptures about it, but you can read, this is what I refer to just a few of the books I have on the customs of the time and what people did when they did a certain trade, how they traveled or whatnot. And as Jesus followed Joseph around after the temple episode up until he's 30 years old, and those ages are just determined by people smarter than me. But we don't have a whole lot about what Jesus did in that gap. Well, he was growing and learning and developing, and he was learning to be the image of his earthly father too on earth. He learned his skills. He learned the trade from him. His mama probably told him, don't eat with that fork. Did he have forks then? Do this, do that, or the other. He was in all ways just like we are, yet without sin. Whenever they said, don't touch the hot stove, he said, I shall not touch thee, hot stove, because I know thou shalt burn me if I do. So he never failed. The devil learned that. He must have knew it before. No, he didn't. Jesus is in the wilderness, and the devil started speaking and tempting. Jesus is hearing the voice of the devil. Something must be wrong with him. Nope, because this is where he lives. He's walking around to and fro, here and there, seeking whom he may devour. Well, he ran into a guy that day that he couldn't devour him. I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. Jesus was tempted. He had a moment. Now, there are some Bible scholars, if they hear me say this, they're going to say, wow, what are you saying? Jesus was just human? Yep. The Bible says he was tempted, tested, tried in all points, just like us, yet without sin. He always said no to the yeses of every temptation. And in fact, the Bible teaches us, and I'll get back to how this applies as an earthly father, teaches us that since he bore all sin, that there was all the temptations was included in that. There was nothing else he could be tempted with. And you know what? When we accept Jesus as our Savior here, we're still on this side of the fence in the dispensation of God. There's still a devil walking around to and fro. Just put your t-shirt on and say, I'm not a to and fro devil. Don't stop here. If he knocks on the door, don't answer the door. Put your armor on and put your helmet down and say, yes. Oh, that looks like Jesus. Exactly. That's the armor of God. That's what a father needs to do. It's what, as fathers, we should instill that in our children. As Jesus developed between the temple and when he went out in public ministry, when his mama told him to turn the water into wine, and Jesus said, but mama, I'm not, just do it. So he obeyed his mom. And here we go. But in that time, it was formidable, impressionable years for the person, the human, the man, Jesus Christ. And his father figure was Joseph. And Joseph made sure that Jesus saw that he was a man of faith to the best of his ability, that he loved God, that he had confidence in God. Jesus grew in faith and confidence because Joseph constantly put Jesus in situations, or had Jesus tag along with him in situations, to help him develop his relationship with the Heavenly Father. Joseph not only had faith and believed in the faithfulness of God, but he also believed in his son. And the situation of Jesus being about the Heavenly Father's business in the temple certainly solidified Joseph's believing in Jesus. If nowadays a child that age disappears and gone for several days, you know what that usually means in the world today. But Joseph knew, and certainly Mary knew. So Joseph didn't know the fullness of it, Mary did. But the fullness of what Christ was here for. I don't think Mary really worried that he would ever be harmed or get lost or get into drugs or the wrong thing with the wrong kids, because she knew what the angels had told her through giving birth to Jesus and so forth. So she had confidence in him that way, but she still wanted to know where he was. It's been, I'm going to guess, better part of a week, 10 days. We don't know where he is. Has he been eating? Does he have clean socks and underwear? That's what we ever do on a trip or did anything. That's what my little mamma and my mom always said. You got to make sure those are clean. You know, it doesn't matter. Whatever else you have to do, make sure that's it. Okay. So when they did find Jesus, that confirmed to Mary even more so, and to Joseph. Well, he was about the Father's business. So from that day on, I don't believe they ever worried about it. If he was ever out of their sight for anything, they knew. They had confidence. They knew what he was involved in. There's a lot more I can say about that, but other than, I'll add this point to it. Jesus was part of and observed Joseph as Joseph led him through the desert when Herod wanted to kill babies. Jesus was, of course, part of it. Joseph went through the desert. He stayed away until Herod, he died and the decree was no more than he came. But that was hard for Joseph. He went to a land that he wasn't a part of. He was a foreigner. He couldn't get caught there. He could be in jailed or imprisoned or whatever. But he had to do it to protect his wife and his child. He showed the courage and he had confidence that God would help him preserve Jesus through all of this moving around and all of these attacks. Jesus was not going to die at the sword of Herod. And as Jesus observed Joseph do these same types of things during those formidable years of his life, that's how he was able to tell Jesus. He knew in Jesus, and I believe in you, Jesus. Now, when we say we believe in Jesus now, we're at a higher plane. We speak more spiritually. But for a father to tell his son, I believe in you, I'm proud of you. Now, I'm going to say this. I don't know that it means one thing or the other, but how many of you know my son was a television news broadcast person? Well, he's not anymore. Oh, he found a job, or it found him. It sounds like it found him, but without many of the details, he's very, very qualified to do this new job. And he did an excellent job from where he left. That makes a father proud that he didn't just not burn the bridge. He made sure the bridge was polished and made sure relationships were still good at a handshake level and whatever else there. They gave him a nice little recognition on TV. 16 years he was there, and he moved on to this other thing, which I believe he'll do excellent there as well. So I didn't text him and say, oh my goodness, son, you got a family to feed. What are you doing to get a new job in the middle of this economy? Blah, 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 blah. Get thee behind me, Satan, cell phone. Hi, son, congratulations. I am so proud of you. This company doesn't know the good that's ahead of them yet. I love you. You're a man telling your son you love him? Yep, I love you, John. Always will.
I love you too.
Thank you, Barney. Oh, I should have said Jonathan, but I guess it'll work for you, son. I got an old son over here. So the third thing, you are not alone. You're not alone. No one is ever alone as long as they know they are truly and deeply loved. Nobody knows this more than a young man and a young woman who are together for godly reasons. They fall in love with each other, whatever. But then for some time period, that one of them has to go on a missions thing halfway around the world or whatever. You hear romantic songs about it, and some of it's cheesy and cringy or whatever. But the underlying message is they might be alone, but they're not lonely because that love is there and they know it. Particularly with God, where God's concerned, particularly where fathers are concerned. It would be a good thing for us to make sure that when our children aren't with us, that when we pop in their head, that it brings a leap in their heart. You don't have to set fireworks off, just that little leap in their heart. Just that little thing that confirms to them, I know my daddy loves me. I know my mama loves me. Then you can call and say, Mom, I'm homesick. It doesn't matter, but your love is still with them. So the third thing is to reach out with a commitment to love. Dads, to let your children, your sons and daughters, know that you love them, demonstrate that you love them, and that commitment is there, even if you don't feel like you love them, even if you don't like what they're doing. we instill that into our children by example as a father. And I got to admit, if I all these things that God has shared with me here for this message, I don't have an A-plus on any of them on the list. But I got a couple of kids that I'm very proud of. And that I know the Bible says that if you train up a child in the way that they should go, when they are old, they won't depart from it. Boy, some kids try as hard as they can to depart. I'm not saying my kids have or haven't. I'm telling you that we love the Lord. And as a father and as a mother, we wanted to make sure they knew. And we still get frustrated at times and question times because certain decisions are made, things are done. And you know how it is. That's their family, whatever. I just got to let them know I love them. I love them. And if we can show that and then our children practice that also, then they hand it on to the next generation when they become fathers and mothers. But you got to reach out. It's something you got to do on purpose to reach out to make sure they're encouraged. You got to reach out to them to share faith and show them how to share their faith. And you got to make sure they understand they're not alone. Jesus, the Lord said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Never. Say that word. Never. How long is that? Drop the N. Drop the N. Ever. Never, ever. Oh, I'm not going to be a stone. Never, ever, 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 never, ever leave you or forsake you. Now, don't get bent out of shape if you hear somebody praying like I have done in my life. Lord, we just ask you to come and be with us. You don't have to ask him. He's here. Shh. Amen. They know what they mean. When I first got saved and I had all the answers, and I would hear people say stuff like that, I'd go up to a guy who's 50 years into the ministry and say, oh, that's not right, brother. Shh, sit down and be quiet, like Jesus did in the temple. People need to know, all they need to know is when we reach out with those three things to our children and grab their hearts, love on purpose. You can do it. Encourage them on purpose. Trust the Lord on purpose. Then we've fulfilled, at least in part, what God's called us to do as fathers. Would you stand with me, please? I'm going to say a prayer over you guys and myself just before Pastor comes, because I need the prayer too. Thank you, Father, for everyone in this room right now. Some of us have our fathers with us. Some, he's been gone many, many years. But all of us are here because there was a father involved in our lives, specifically even you, Father. But I ask you, it's a very special day that as people revisit memories, warm memories, things you've done to turn bad situations to good, I pray, Lord, you'll bring all that together in the minds and the hearts of these here now to know that it all comes together, Lord, under your lordship, under your fatherhood, that it'll all come together to make them a better Christian, to make us all a better child, to bring honor to you, to bring praise to you. And we ask all these things for your favor on these people and these fathers in Jesus' name. Amen.